This morning's message is one that a lot of folks have a misunderstanding of. Security of the believer is a focus, and many people said they attribute that to the Baptist. Well, I attribute that to the Bible, folks. Security of the believer, meaning that you Christians now, because of the gracious love of Almighty God, and you have accepted Him as Lord and Savior, that you can just go out and do anything you want to, and you can go to heaven. You know, it's very difficult when somebody makes such a statement of that into a question. And it's even going to be more difficult for me because of the emails that will be coming in later this week. But folks, to get to the very heart and point of it, that's true. I've been saved ultimately by Jesus Christ. But let me focus it a little different for us. This whole year talking about what it means to follow Jesus. And the title that I have, Because of God's Grace, a Believer's Sins Can Never Cause God's Rejection. Now, here's the focus of security of the believer. Knowing that Jesus Christ has paid my sin debt. Folks, if Jesus did not die for my sins, past, present, and future, you and I have no hope, period. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, the debt for sin was paid. Jesus went to the cross. He gave His life for you and me. And yet I hear people focusing on, well, that just means they can go out and do anything. Well, the other one is for my Catholic brother and sister. Oh, that's okay. They can go out and do anything they want. All they have to do is confess to the priest and it's okay. Well, let me tell you something. When you confess to Jesus Christ, but in that confession, you're saying, Lord, I believe you are exactly who you say you are. And I believe, Lord, so much of the security that you've given me, I don't want to do the wrong. I don't want to do that. I love you so much, Larry. Here, I'm giving you grace, unmerited grace. Favor. I love you that much. I died on the cross for you. I gave my blood for you. And yes, it is a fact. If I could be saved and lost, then there would be something wrong with my salvation, would there not? Jesus does everything right the first time. I mean, folks, when you and I were born, we started developing the look we have today. Look at this face. The look that we have today. God gives us that blessing of look. Isn't it amazing how God lets us know, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, in laying the groundwork on this, let me begin sharing with you how I know this to be true. If it is not in Scripture, yeah, but you know, you all interpret Scripture a little different. You all who? Is it not the same Lord that indwells in all Christians? Is it not the same Holy Spirit? Do we get so angry because someone is forgiven that we say, well, you know, they got it good in both worlds. They got it good. They've been forgiven. They've done all of these bad things. Bad things do not make us proud of our human life. It is the good spirit of Christ within us that makes us proud. Are we not to receive Christ? And then are we not, when we receive Christ, to take His word and let His light shine from us? So if you and I, as sinners, are saved by grace like any other sinner is, When we go out into the world, do we not make such a statement? I am a sinner saved by grace. Do you really go out and tell everybody that, you know, look, I'm a Baptist, I'm Catholic, I'm Methodist, I'm Presbyterian. You'll never find blame in me. Well, for one thing, I blame them for making me sick when they make statements like that. That's not true. Has anybody ever noticed the reality of living on this earth? Around every curve, there is an evil trap waiting for us. Have we not noticed that? Do we dare say that we can live this life on our own? We don't need any help? How many times have we told folks, oh no, I got this, when you know you don't have this? God says, I love you. And because of my grace, because of my mercy, a believer's sin can never cause God's rejection. Did not the Lord know me from before I was born? Did he not say that in his word? Did not the Lord give us direction after we were born and put in our path the right personalities to give us the opportunity to know his son Jesus? And when Jesus died on that cross and he said, it is finished, folks, it was finished. Hell no longer had power or authority. When Jesus says it's finished, it's finished. And he said, it is finished. And he also prayed for you and for me that we would be where he is, that we also would be. And I will be there. And by the time I get through the end of this life, I'm going to be more ragged looking than I do right now. It's called life. I don't know why we go through all sorts of different trials and tribulations. Well, it's the Lord. The Lord tempts you in that. God doesn't tempt. God does not give to me or tempt me with evil. He says that. His half-brother James said that. Did not say when you are tempted, you are tempted of God, because God tempts no man to sin. God said it doesn't happen. We don't need any help. We're doing pretty good on our own. Been given a nation that's the greatest ever known. And we turn it over to sinful whoremongers of this world who will tear down every Christian church they possibly can to make a point. I want you to know, the temple of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ happens to be your body. They can burn these buildings. All the burning they do for the physical can never touch my salvation in Jesus Christ. I don't believe there is a God. Well, he believes you are here. He knows you. And don't tell me you don't believe there's a devil, because every one of us have had a lot of experience with him. How do I know this? Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, speaking of Jesus, therefore, he is able to save completely. You got any trouble with completely? Those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Our Savior is not dead. Our Savior conquered death for you and for me. And he says, trust me. So Larry, I don't want you worrying about all of this foolishness that you deal with from your human existence. I want you to know, though, that I'm going to love you no matter whether or not you hit me on the head with a crown of thorns or spit at me, or though you walk away as Peter did. Peter loved him. What did Peter find out was going on in his life? He was dealing with the human existence. fear. When did he come to his senses? And that's what Jesus told him. Go get Peter and tell him this. When he comes to his senses, you know, he's out of his mind, he's saying. When he comes to his senses, tell him, come see me. Ever still his Savior. What, don't I remember that Jesus is the one who had said to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Simon Bar-Jonah, but my heavenly Father. Only God could tell you who I am. And you know me. And then he got cocky, Peter did. Lord, they will all turn away from you, but not me. I'm going to stick with you. Let me tell you about the human condition. You and I are raised in sin. We're born in sin. We battle sin every day of our life. And too often, people professing to be Christians try to present themselves as sinless. No wonder nobody wants to be a Christian. I don't want to be anywhere with a bunch of perfect individuals. I have a lot of blemishes. You all do too. It's called reality living. Do you really think then that Jesus, after all he's done for you, he went to the cross, he gave it all for you and for me. Do you really think then that Satan's going to come up with this scheme about after we've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life, that Satan can take away our salvation through sin? I don't have this up here. Many of you have your Bibles. If you remember Corinth was a place of big trouble in the church. Somebody look up 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. You're going to find a situation. Remember, Paul had to deal with a whole lot of mess in the church. The people that came into church were either idolaters, Jews, or, well, I guess that's about it. Christianity had just begun. Well, do you know what was going on at Corinth? That statement you're going to see in 1 Corinthians 5, 5, I hope you're going to see in there, is a condemnation to the individual who took his mother as, I'm trying to get this across lightly here, the individual who took his mother as a wife. Let me do it that way. That's what this, that one verse, somebody tell me if I'm wrong on that. What you got?
I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Okay. That is exactly what the Lord was wanting us to understand. We may say, yeah, we have the freedom to sin. But I'll tell you this, folks. We have a greater freedom not to. We have a greater freedom because of the love of Jesus Christ. When he came into our heart, when he paid the price for us, when he gave us eternal life, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So therefore, I have the desire to do what is right. And Paul said, I do too, but I do it wrong. And God looked to the heart and said, I see the desire, but it is not a free pass to do what I want, but a free gift from God to us not to do what my body desires to do. Freedom. What causes us the most trouble in our life? Freedom. Remember, folks, it is freedom that frightens folks. And for me to be free means that I get to make the choices. I get to choose between right and wrong. It's my responsibility to take care of my family. It's my responsibility to rightly divide God's word. Wait a minute. I don't want that responsibility. I had rather make bricks for Pharaoh rather than get to choose for myself. From the beginning, we have been offered the freedom not to go against God. Look at it that way. I'm free. Freed by the blood of the Lamb, not to fall into the ways of the world. I had the freedom not to do that. Rather than you and I looking and say, well, I had the freedom to do it. So I guess it's okay if I do. After all, it's only natural. Let me tell you, at Corinth, when he was nailing the guy, which this was a leader of the church, and it was out openly, him being, well, with his own mother. And if you'll read that, you will find that the horrors that everybody was seeing and it was going on in the church, that's where that came from. But remember what he said? Turn the flesh over to Satan, that his spirit may be saved at the coming of the Lord. Well, you mean an individual that would do such a horrible sin still has hope? Folks, the only thing we have that you can hang your life on is hope. Grace, mercy of God. That's all we have. Because you see, if Jesus didn't really go to the cross, if he didn't really die for our sins, if he didn't really do all the things that we know the scripture says he did, what hope do we have? Why do anything good? Or why not anarchy? Seems like it, a whole lot of folk in this nation crying out for anarchy. Why? Because only the humanly powerful can survive. I got news for you, folks. I have a lot of news for you. It's not breaking news. It broke 2,000 years ago. When Jesus says, I've come because I love you. I have come because I care about you, and I have come because I want you to meet my Father. Oh, and by the way, Jesus says, don't you know that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? But we couldn't have seen the Father directly, or we would have died. Now, we see the Father face to face in Jesus. Well, I've never got to meet Jesus. Yes, you have. If you're a Christian, you've met him. You just haven't seen his face yet. Or you think you haven't. See, there's so much power in the love of Christ that he can give me the freedom, that he can give me such strength and freedom. And he still remains sovereign. How does that work? I don't know. But I do know this. I believe him. Why? Jesus just didn't talk scripture. He was scripture. He is scripture. And today he sits at the right hand of God the Father, praying for me, praying for you, lifting us up and saying, I did it right the first time. Larry Pete, when you said yes to me, you are saved. Now will you shut up and get about my business? Preach my word. Tell the world, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tell them. And watch out, lest among you will grow individuals that profess to be closer to God than you. Don't we understand preachers are no closer to God than any other Christian? When you become a child of God, do we not understand that the scripture lets us know that we are all priests? Well, why did he use that term? Oh, gosh. See, that's what our problem is. We get so caught up, well, we don't want to look like the church down the street. We don't, well, what do we want to look like? That every Christian church I know of preaches the gospel, that are true Christian churches. I do not care about their denomination. I care about individual Christians, don't you? When it comes to your family, people say, well, now look, everything is equal. So I know this, that, you know, I must be ready and willing to sacrifice my family. We are all family. Who do I sacrifice? Think of it. Who takes their first child to the sacrifice? Then why don't we have to? Because the sacrifice has already been given. My freedom has already been paid for. Your freedom as a Christian, you are free to worship God with all your heart. What a gift from God. What a blessing to allow us to come in His presence. Even bring up His name. Talk about His love. Talk about His commitment to us. He has given us the freedom to get to glorify His name. Folks, that's freedom. That you don't fear what the world can bring. Why not? I know Jesus. Well, I don't pay any attention to your God. I don't care. My God pays attention to me. And I may die, folks, in this generation because of my comments from the pulpit. But I can promise you this. I will not die unless it's going to glorify God. And it just may glorify God that I don't. But you see, that's what Christianity is. Whichever way, frankly, folks, that's fine with me. But do we back away from the truth of the love of God who has poured out such mercy on us, on the ones we love? Do we not tell the world the truth that you too can have what I have? That you too can have the peace that surpasses all understanding? Why? Because Jesus did it right the first time. He died once and He died for all, He says. Once and for all. Does not all mean everybody? But how will they know if they don't hear? How will they hear if the preacher doesn't preach? How will they find hope if all the preachers do in the pulpit is condemn every situation that's going on in everybody's life? Make it right with Jesus, folks. Don't you worry about the preacher. You make it right with Jesus. Do you really think that when you said yes to Jesus, that He never thought that you may sin again? Jesus came to walk on earth with you. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. This do in remembrance of me. And you know where battles come in within some churches? We've been blessed here for many years without that. Well, here's when you ought to do the Lord's Supper. And you do it each quarter. And so the young preacher that I was in those days, I'm still trying to find it in Scripture. Do you know that we're never told in Scripture when to observe the Lord's Supper? Do you know, folks, that we can do the Lord's Supper every Sunday and glorify God? And people say, well, that's just not Baptist. Oh, gosh. Well, I don't sound like one a lot of times either, do I? Oh, wait a minute. If we're setting it up once a quarter in the a.m. service, why do we call it supper? So you see, it is the act. that matters. It's the respect from the heart, not how often. Although I'll tell you right now, because it's time that we get back to the foot of that cross. We stray away so often. Every Sunday for the months ahead, where we have our fellowship time that evening, that morning, we will be doing the Lord's Supper, observing. Think of it. God the Father looks at us as much as we have messed up in our life, as much brokenness that we have in our life, and He says, I'm going to allow you to remember my son's death. We get to be part of the body of Christ. He said, yes. But then I hear pious hearts too often. Oh, I'm not worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? I got news for you. It's not about you. It's about who Jesus is. He said, do this in remembrance of me, not in remembrance of my stupidity over the years, faults and failures. Do we not glorify the Christ that gave us eternal life, free gift? What a gift! I'll give it a cure for cancer. Well, you don't need to. I've already been given a great gift, eternal life. Let the cancer do whatever it wants to do. I don't even have time to mess with it anymore. Let me tell you, the Lord has called us, you, me, to tell the world you can have peace, you can have hope, you can know that you're saved. You can know it. Because Jesus never strayed into guesswork. Well, I guess this is going to work. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Father, if there's any way, because I feel from the human standpoint the horrors that's getting ready to befall me. The horror of what? Life and sin. And Jesus said, Randy, you can't handle it. Paula, you can't handle the punishment. Larry, Pete, Jason, Hunter, Faye, you can't handle it. So I'll do it for you. I'll handle it for you. They can threaten the flesh. Oh, I serve a God that the world needs to be paying attention to. Because the world can only take my flesh. They need to fear the one who is capable of taking their flesh and casting their soul to hell. That's the God of the universe. Do you not believe that he will come to protect his children? Well, would you? Once again, I remind you, when that child cries, you know whether it's a fussing cry, an aggravating cry, a painful cry, or a tragic cry. You know. Do we not understand that the Holy Spirit looks into our heart of who God has created us to be? And because, the Scripture says, you and I don't know how to ask or what to pray for, that God's Holy Spirit lifts us up to the presence of God. Jesus says, I'm on the right hand of my Father praying for you continually. Holy Spirit in our life says, I'm within you, sending up the prayers to Jesus the Son. Don't we understand that we are a part of the triunity or trinity of God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Where Jesus is, all believers will be one day. Where your love is, the blessings will abound. God God does not have time for fear. Jesus called them foxes, and he called them snakes. And he let them know that they were 10 times more the people of hell than the ones they were taking the false message to. The time has come. The time for Christians to stand up and say, yes, that's true. I believe that with all my heart, that once I said yes to Jesus, because the scripture tells me nothing can pull me away from him. Nothing. Not even me. And I hear people saying that, yeah, but you can take your out. Show that to me. No, you can't. For one thing, you have the freedom, not the sin against God. And you have the freedom to take his word, and he gives you the path. Remember, each one of us can look in our history, and we can watch ourselves bounce back and forth in that path. But I want you to know, at the other end, there's a light, there's a hope. The hope for life is in the Christ Jesus, who gave his so that you and I could have the freedom to worship him. If they put chains on this church, we'll worship in the parking lot. If they put chains on the parking lot, we'll worship in the road. And we're going to be pretty safe there, according to how many of us, because we don't have any more rooms in the jails anyway. It's time that the Christians stand up and be heard. But it's time that what they hear is about the love of a Savior who says, I did it right the first time. When you said yes to me, Larry Pete, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, what a life. What a love. What a God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Father, for the love and the joy of our salvation. It's from you, Father, the light of life itself. Father, we bring ourselves to you, to the foot of your cross, understanding, dear Lord God, that through our human weaknesses, your love will prevail. Through the times that we end up in the ditch, we will always know that you were there to help us out. Touch each of us now, Father. As we go, help us to go in peace. Give us the courage and the boldness to truly stand for your love. For there is no love like yours, other than yours. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.